me do the recording here. Hold on. Great. Okay, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you. And we'll start off with our blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar banu mikol hamim v'natan lanu et torato. Baruch atah Adonai notein haTorah. Hope everyone is having a good week. There's so much to talk about today. I have a number of different things I want to share with you. So first, I want to start off with, of course, would like to do our learning in the merit of a refuah shlema for everyone who is ill, and with also gratitude to all the people who are helping our world function. That's healthcare providers, people who are working in hospitals, people who are in our stores providing for us, and we are just hoping that cures come to us. I just saw something this morning that they think that maybe llamas have the answer, that there's something in their immune system and that whatever from them might have the answer for us. So Hashem created a whole world for us and might have the secret in llamas. So we'll just stay tuned for where this is going to take us. Today we are on the 28th day of the counting of the Omer, of the Sfirat HaOmer. And 28 is a beautiful, of course, gematria that spells out the word koach. 20 is equal to chaf, and 8 is equal to chet. So today is the koach of the 49 days we're counting. We're on the 28th day, and it's especially strong. And it fits that it's the 28th day, which means strength, because the sphera combination that we are in is about an incredible amount of strength. So this week we are in, and we are concluding today, the sphera that is called Netzach. Netzach means endurance, eternity, to prevail. So in Israel, if you win the game, you'd say Netzachti. It means I won. You know, in a soccer game, Netzachti, we won. We prevailed. The person who is associated with the sphere of Netzach, is Moshe, connected to the Torah and the fact that the Torah is eternal. So the Torah's eternality, the Jewish people are called Netzach Yisrael, the eternal Jewish people, and of course Hashem himself is also called Netzach. So that we are eternal people representing the eternal God with the eternal Torah, and that is this week of the Sfirat HaOmer is focusing on being able to prevail. Prevailing is a challenging quality in and of itself, because sometimes prevailing in our own personal lives or in an organization or in a challenge, sometimes people don't act their best when they're trying to prevail. So if you're prevailing by stepping on other people's toes, not such a good way of prevailing. If you're prevailing and there are blinders on our sides and we don't see anything else that we must attend to because we're so focused on focus on what my goal is, and I don't see that maybe there's something else that's a compelling issue that I need to pay attention to. So sometimes people talk about people who are workaholics, people who are so focused on their job that their family life falls apart because they're ignoring other issues that are also of concern. So Netzach, being able to prevail, requires still an ability to have an awareness of what's going on around us and what other things might be important. So we get into what today is, which is called Malchut Shebenetzach. Malchut meaning kingship, meaning sovereignty, meaning mastery. So that when someone has mastery over their ability to endure, it means, do I take into consideration my whole kingdom? Like, am I taking into consideration other things I should be focused on? So let's say if sometimes you see these really grotesque pictures of somebody who has worked out and become over-muscled. Maybe I'm just jealous because I don't have any upper body muscle, but they are over-muscled in their upper bodies and the rest of them is like not. It's like, my goal is to have strong arms. It's like, yeah, but the rest of you, like, what are you doing to your heart? You did no aerobic activity. It's like, the idea is to still have the ability to have a goal, but in the totality of who we are and whatever our circumstances are. And that becomes a mindset of Malchut Shebenetzach. Am I taking into consideration everything? Am I focusing on the total picture? And by the same token, somebody who, when we're focusing on Netzach and prevailing and being goal-oriented, we have to also make sure that we are goal-oriented, that we don't get sidetracked. So I'm a big fan of, there was a book that was called the Sidetracked Home Executive, which basically means, and I've seen like really funny videos that somebody starts off, you know, a woman starts off and she's going to go get the mail, which is downstairs, but she can't find her key. And while she's looking for her key, then she sees that on the table where she was looking, there was a stack of bills that she hadn't paid. So she starts going through them, and then she has looking for a receipt. So she goes into her purse, and while she's in her purse, she sees like, oh, I'm missing my whatever. Anyway, she ends up spending the entire day getting totally sidetracked by one thing after the next, pulling her off, and by the end of the day, she didn't get the mail. So, and she didn't do anything else either, because each thing got her sidetracked. So the idea of Netzach is about the ability not to get sidetracked, at the same time, not to get overly focused, that we lose track of other things that we should be thinking about. I remember saying to my mom, you know, as a nice metaphor, is she used to, even in her later years, participate in the Boulder, which was a run, but she would do the walk. And the route goes through the Boulder area. So it also goes past a store, you know, it goes past like King Soopers or whatever it was. So if you're doing the Boulder, you don't want to get sidetracked and think, oh, I need milk. You know, I think I'll just dash into the store for a minute and get milk and then I'll come back. It's like, you don't do that. It's like, you do need milk, but this isn't the time. So being able to exercise that, I know a lot of people who work at home, such as myself often, one of the challenges is getting sidetracked. It's like, oh, you know, I think, really, honestly, I think I'll straighten my purse. I think I'll do this, or that's the laundry, or I, you know, a magazine article. That when you are in some place where there's a lot of other things around, it's easy to get sidetracked. And not just in the physical thing. It's easy to get sidetracked on our spiritual goals and our physical goals, our educational goals, whatever it is, it's easy to get sidetracked. The Malchut Shebenetzach, the ability to exercise sovereignty over my kingdom, over my reign, to know which thing I should be doing and what will help me endure and be successful and reach my goals, that's what today is all about. And that takes koach, that takes strength, and it is a manifestation of koach. When we read stories about people who were able to persevere in whatever their goal was, that everybody had major obstacles to overcome, that nobody just kind of goes soaring straight to the heights and like, nope, no obstacles. We make a very short biography. You know, I was born, I decided to do this, and then I did it. And that's it. It's like, first of all, we hate you because, you know, how can I even relate to something like that? That the ability to reach a goal means, by definition, overcoming obstacles. And in fact, the obstacles that we overcome in the process of reaching our goal is what really allows us to reach the goal, because it builds us, it builds our strength in the process. That process of exercising, for example, with weights, is that you build your strength through the resistance. You don't just materialize with strong muscles. You have to go through a process, and the process itself is what builds the strength. So every obstacle we overcome, you know, when we were small, people said, well, you know, it'll be character building. You know, whatever the challenge or the obstacle was, it'll be character building. And that's really the truth, that all of the obstacles we face, which include obstacles that come externally as well as the obstacles we put in our own way. So sometimes we get in our own way and we are the obstacle. And that is probably the hardest obstacle to overcome, because it's coming from inside us. My obstacle, myself, might be my thoughts, my self-defeating thoughts, my attitudes, whatever it might be, my preconceptions about who I am and what's possible for me to become or to do. Those things are probably the greatest obstacles that a person ever has. Being able to say, I am sovereign and I have mastery over my kingdom, my queendom, for all of us on board here, our queendomness, that this is the ability to have mastery in our life and to reach our goals with an appropriate, dignified, refined approach to life and living. And I remember this was such a beautiful thing. A friend of mine was in a marathon, and she happens to be a doctor. She's an anesthesiologist, but she's a doctor. And during the marathon, somebody passed out. And she stopped, because she's a doctor, to help administer aid to him. Now, she could have said, you know what, I'm in a marathon, I'm running. You know, so she didn't do that. And she sacrificed, I mean, it wasn't like her life was at stake. She sacrificed, you know, she'd been preparing for this and was trying to beat her goal and beat her record of the time that she had taken last time she did it. But there was something more important, which was somebody else needed help. And there were thousands of people. She could have also said, I'm sure there's another doctor running here, somebody else can help. But she stopped and took care. And now, I don't know what her time was, but as far as I'm concerned, that was Malchut Shebenetzach. That was somebody who reached her goal. And what's her real goal? Her real goal is to develop as a person. Nobody really cares if you won a marathon and you ran over and stepped on the people who had fallen in your path along the way to get there. That's what we call, that is the ability to have Malchut Shebenetzach, to be able to incorporate the whole thing. So it's the same thing is true, and we see people in our wonderful Jewish life, Jewish history, and present day, you know, people who have a business. But if a competitor comes on the scene, I just love reading stories about these people, it's so inspiring, who help their competitors, who tell them, you know, who the suppliers are that they should connect with if they're new to town. And people are like, how can you do that? This person is your competitor. It's like, I have my goal of running my business, but Hashem is running the world. Hashem is the ultimate melech, the ultimate ruler, and is deciding how things are going to go. I will have as much money as I'm supposed to have, and I wouldn't even think of doing anything, not only to not help, some people would do things actively to hinder and harm somebody else who is their competitor. We all remember, what's her name, Tanya whatever, who, you know, broke the leg of her competitor or whatever. It's like, so some people do that physically, and some people will do that through bad-mouthing their competitor, through saying things, through insinuating, through doing whatever they can to make somebody else fail. The person who has Malchut Shebenetzach has their goal. They didn't say, well, I'll close my business and just give all my business to this person. They're like, I have my goal, and I have a responsibility to the whole kingdom, to the whole experience. And for the Jewish people, it means really to the whole world. So we have halachas about how you conduct business, how you do things in a way to make sure that we create a system that allows people to be productive and successful, but not at other people's expense. And it's a beautiful system to be a part of. So that's where we are for this today, is thinking about how am I in my malchut, how am I in my sovereignty of being over the total picture, and am I aligned, how am I doing in aligning myself with the goals that I do have, spiritual goals, physical goals, educational goals, you know, cleaning the house goals, whatever it might be, staying healthy goals. All of those are, we're trying to look at the entire kingdom. So the melech that always has to have in mind the total picture. So interestingly, the word melech is spelled mem, lamed, chaf. Now those letters can be reversed and can spell like the word kulam. Okay, the kulam is, which means everybody. It has, like, everything is incorporated in the concept of the person who is the melech. A Jewish concept of melech is not King George, King Henry, or King anybody else you've ever heard of. The concept of melech and malchut is about the idea of sovereignty and service, of serving the whole. And that's our concept of melech. This is where we are today. As it turns out, because we are meeting this year, our Thursdays, each week we are at the malchut of whatever the quality that we're at. So our Thursday classes are now like the malchut class about sovereignty and exercising over whatever the other quality is, whatever the other sphera is that we are talking about. We're talking about how we exercise mastery over that whole thing. So that brings us to a second concept related to Malchut, which is the upcoming holiday of Shavuot, which will be here shortly because we just are finishing the fourth week of the Sefirat HaOmer, and there are seven, which means that we have 3 weeks left. And in 3 weeks' time, in fact, I'm not sure whether we will meet on Erev Shavuot. It depends where I am with my cooking. You would think cooking for two was like not such a big deal, but somehow for me it's like cooking for 20. Anyway, so where I am, depending, we'll see whether we meet on Erev Shavuot. But in 3 weeks, we're going to have the holiday of Shavuot. And when we celebrate this holiday, we read the Book of Ruth. Now, since we will not be in synagogues, so we won't be able to hear somebody read it, but you can read it yourself. And the Book of Ruth is such a beautiful, short, sweet, beautiful story, but I want to talk about a specific aspect of it. And this comes from my wonderful teacher online, Rebbetzin Esther Wien. So she gave a class about this, and I wanted to share it with you as well, a portion of it. So we asked the question, why do we read the Book of Ruth on Shavuot? So there's a lot of reasons that are offered. One is that one of, and I'm going to assume that people are pretty familiar with the basic story, but we'll be talking about parts of it. It's in your Chumash. If you have a Chumash, it's in the back under the, with the other Megillot. You can read the story, the Book of Ruth. We'll talk a little about it, and we'll probably be referring to it also in the coming weeks as we prepare for Shavuot. The holiday that gets the shortest shrift of all, which always just breaks my heart. But anyway, this year I'm very happy because my birthday falls out. The second day of Shavuot is, let's see, is that right? Yeah, the, yeah. My birthday falls out on Shavuot, so I'm very excited about that. Anyway, so what is pointed out is why do we read the Book of Ruth on Shavuot? So one option, one offering is that one of the scenes for the Book of Ruth is that Ruth is gleaning the harvest with for herself and for her mother-in-law Naomi. She and Naomi have returned to the land of Israel. They are deeply impoverished. And due to that impoverishment, they are, part of Jewish law is that farmers are obligated to leave the corners of their fields for the poor to come and take. And they're also obligated to leave the gleanings of things that are dropped. And the poor people can come in and take. So that's what Ruth is doing. So since she is doing something that has to do with gleaning, and it's the harvest, so and at Shavuot we bring the offering of the grain and the bread, it's like, okay, so it's like this kind of time, so this would be a good reason to do it. There's another idea that because Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David, that that's why we read the Book of Ruth. So you could say, okay, that's nice, but what does that have to do with anything? So, well, it turns out that King David was born and also died on Shavuot. So it's both his birthday and his yahrzeit. So now, if that's true, if Shavuot is his birthday and his yahrzeit, then I would suggest, if I was on the committee for what should we read then for Shavuot, I would nominate the Book of Psalms, because King David wrote the Book of Psalms. So if you're going to honor King David on Shavuot, so read the Book of Psalms. Why do we back up and say, I know, we'll read the Book of Ruth? Like, what does that have anything to do with anything? So we want to understand who Ruth was, especially in connection with David, with King David, who through King David is through who Mashiach is going to come. The Messiah, the Redeemer, comes through the line of King David, and Ruth is the great-grandmother. Now, this isn't just like the Yiddish Anachas, you know, the mother who goes to the, whatever, the inauguration. She goes, that's my grandson up there, and I'm his grandmother. You know, I have so much Anachas. It's like, are we just giving her Anachas? Like, she's the great-grandmother of King David, so let's talk about her. It's like, there has to be something more to it. So Ruth has a very beautiful name. She is called Mother of Malchut. She is called the mother, the source of kingship. And that's what we want to understand. Yes, we should really be reading the book of Psalms. If we're focusing on King David, so then let's read the book of Psalms. That's what he wrote. But we don't do that. We back up and say, where does his kingship come from? Why of all people who are from the tribe of Yehuda, from the tribe of Judah, which is where kingship comes from, that line, that tribe, why him and why Ruth? So we're going to say is that Ruth is the embodiment of kingship.